It's Derek here from Bomb Socks, and welcome to the Bomb Bites podcast. Hey, if you're new to Bomb Bites, it's a service from our company Bomb Socks to help be a resource to you as you're studying along with the Come Follow Me curriculum for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hope you enjoy today's episode. So several years ago, I remember walking into an institute class. This had to be close to 30 years ago. I walked into an institute class and the teacher had an interesting question on the board that he wanted us to address. Now, here is what he had on the board. He said, suppose for just a moment that Jesus had either become unwilling or unworthy to perform the atonement for you and I. Now, that's a grand supposition because that obviously didn't happen, but he was just trying to get us to think about this. What would have happened to us? Here are some options to consider. And he had these options right here. He had option A, the highest degree of glory we would be able to achieve would be the celestial kingdom, still the highest degree of glory, but it would take us a lot longer because we would have to suffer for our own sins. So we would get there without Jesus, okay? B, the highest degree of glory we'd be able to achieve would still be the celestial kingdom, but we would live there as spirits and ministering angels to others. And the others were similar to that. You know, the terrestrial kingdom, but we live there as spirits. The telestial kingdom, but we would live there as spirits. Option E was an interesting one. The highest degree of glory we'd be able to achieve would be no degree of glory. We would all be sons and daughters of perdition subject to Satan. And then you got this last one, which I thought was kind of funny. If Jesus had either become unworthy or unwilling, God would have risen up another to be the Savior. In other words, God had a plan B ready just in case. And it was interesting. We kind of had this discussion back and forth, what everybody thought. One guy was just adamant that it was option F. He's like, God wouldn't let that happen to us. And I understand that. Again, this is all so hypothetical. But he's like, nope, God had a plan B ready just in case. And another guy raised his hand. He was just like, so like a backup Jesus? He goes, is there some, you know, guy tossing the football around waiting for this? Like if Jesus messes up, I'm ready to come in. He goes, God is not a plan B God in the sense that he's crossing his fingers going, hey, okay, let's just hope this plan works, right? And so that was an interesting way to look at this. When you get all the way through all of this, there is only one correct option and very few people got it right, including myself. I did not get it right. Now, before the teacher gave the correct answer, he wrote on the board, 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Now, 2 Nephi 9 is an incredibly awesome, very doctrinally deep chapter here, but look at what this teaches to us as if there were no atonement that had been performed for us. For as death hath passed upon all men to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection, and the resurrection must needs come unto man by reason of the fall. And the fall came by reason of transgression. And because man became fallen, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Wherefore, it must needs be an infinite atonement, save it should be an infinite atonement. This corruption could not put on incorruption. This is very much like a part two of 2 Nephi chapter 2, where we're introduced to the fall. Wherefore, the first judgment which came unto man must needs have remained to an endless duration. And if so, this flesh must have laid down to rot and to crumble to its mother earth to rise no more. Oh, the wisdom of God, his mercy and grace. For behold, if the flesh should rise no more, our spirits must become subject to that angel who fell from before the presence of the eternal God, and to become the devil to rise no more, and our spirits must have become like unto him, and we become devils, angels to a devil, to be shut off from the presence of our God, to remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. And so the teacher had us read those verses, and he said, the correct option here, my friends, is E. The highest degree we would be able to achieve would be no degree of glory. We would all be sons and daughters of perdition, subject to Satan. Not a lot of people got that answer right. And I've used this quiz before in other like gospel doctrine classes and things, and very few people get it right. But if we truly understand that there was, like our wonderful hymn 194, there is a green hill far away. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only, meaning Jesus Christ, he only could unlock the gate to heaven and let us in. If there were no Jesus, there was no atonement. We would all be hellbound. We would be just like Satan. That is why you see verse number 10 of 2 Nephi 9. Oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of this awful monster, yea, that monster death and hell, which I call the death of the body and also the death of the spirit. Now, with that in mind, like I said, 2 Nephi chapter 9, such a doctrinal powerhouse chapter. Great quote here from Joseph Fielding Smith. This chapter is one of the most enlightening discourses ever delivered in regard to the atonement. It should be carefully read by every person seeking salvation. Now, you saw the first of those verses that Jacob was really trying to put emphasis on the atonement. Verse number 8, oh, the wisdom of God, his mercy and grace. Verse number 10, oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape. You see the word, oh, I mean, it's a letter, but here it's Jacob just expressing this extreme gratitude. The word oh is mentioned 12 times in this chapter as we're going through trying to understand why the atonement is such a necessary part here and why we should be so grateful for Jesus Christ. You have verse number 13, oh, how great the plan of our God. Verse 17, oh, the greatness and the justice of our God. Verse 19, going along with that, oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel. For he delivereth his saints from that awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. You know, you don't see the word monster very often in Scripture. Jacob mentions it a lot when he is referring to this horrible two-headed monster of death and hell, and Jesus Christ overcame both of them. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things. There is not anything save he knows it. And with that said, you have the opposite of that oh. This chapter also has woes in them as well. Now, this one, a lot of people are familiar with. Verses 28 and 29. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsels of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good if they hearken unto the counsels of God. Now, one of my favorite O's in this chapter is verse 39, and I have heard this given so many times in seminary devotionals over the years. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against that holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Now, I have had many seminary students over the years give this. Like I said, they quote this verse, and it's awesome, and then they will focus on this idea of to be spiritually minded is life eternal. You put those together, spiritually minded is life eternal. You've got the word smile right there. And they're just like, I love how this says smile. Now, honestly, I don't think that Jacob in the original Reformed Egyptian necessarily meant to spell out the word smile. I'm pretty sure that didn't work out that way. But I do love the fact that when people read this, they talk about how good it is to follow the Savior Jesus Christ and how wonderful the atonement is. Now, there's several more O's in this chapter. Verse number 40, oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 41, oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteous. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate. Verse 45, oh, my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shake off the chains of him that would bind you fast. Come unto the Lord, who is the rock of your salvation. I love this chapter. There are so, we could spend like an entire week just on the basic parts of this particular chapter that Jacob teaches to you and I. This is such a phenomenal chapter. I love what it teaches about the atonement and should be read by every person seeking salvation. I love this chapter and I'm grateful for it, and it makes me smile. If you'd like to check out our video that goes with today's podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by simply searching Bomb Socks. That's BOMSOCKS. And be sure to check out our amazingly comfortable gospel-themed socks at bombsocks.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll join us again for more episodes of Bomb Bites. Godspeed, and have a great day.